Okay, and welcome back on this Friday night. It is time to very seriously consider, if you haven't revisited, you need to revise your records with an update on your preparation. What have you done to prepare for really bad times of all kinds of potential descriptions? You have a family, you have a partner, a friend, whatever. You need to make plans. And Stefan Verstappen is really one of the most remarkable people when it comes to planning. He's organized a community, a group in Canada. These people all work together. It's kind of like a really brilliant communal idea, concept on how to prepare to protect yourselves in a group. And it's a remarkable story. Hello there, young man. What's going on?
Hey. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm still here. Thank you. And glad to have you on because you've helped a lot of people. You can talk a little louder if you want to. I think I'm a little louder than you are, but we'll get that fixed.
There we go. Oh, there. Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. Just stay right on the mic or whatever you're using.
Yeah, I've got a mic on one of those articulated arms. Yeah, no, things are good, Jeff. You want an update of what the community is doing?
I think so. It's you have achieved something, and the people in your group, all of you listening, and I know some of you are, have achieved something that is the ideal, the dream of millions of others. I wish I could do that. Well, you can, but you do need people of like mind to get involved with it. And that takes a little footwork, a little legwork to get out and find out who your neighbors are, what potential they may have. Submit the idea to them, the concept that you form a group. Stefan can tell you all about this. We've talked many times about it. He's got a book on it that people can get. Tell him how. All kinds of help. So you're not alone out there. If you want to do this, it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done. And not only can it be done, it must be done. Jeff, this is the solution to our problems. You know, Sun Tzu, the famous Chinese strategist from the 5th century BC, in his book, The Art of War, wrote, "First make your defense impenetrable." And that's what we're trying to do, Jeff. Listen, you know, we are held back by the censorship. And it drives me insane. I have to bite my tongue every second word when we talk because you're not allowed to say a word of truth. Well, because why? What would happen? Well, they would shut down your bank account. There's a very good chance that there'll be police sent to your house now. Look what's going on in England. They just passed a law that if you say anything online through an email or a tweet or a instant message, that even if it's just between you and your one friend or whatever, you can be prosecuted if that message contains anything that could be considered uncomfortable to somebody else. So they're bringing that in. Don't bring it in here in Canada, too. They're working on things like that. So you are not allowed to speak a word of truth, not between you and your mom, nothing. And they will prosecute you. I mean, it really is like, Russia 1917. It's a communist crackdown on thought crime, for Christ's sakes. So how can you make yourself impenetrable? You see, if I were to come out and say what I really say, they would shut down my bank accounts. They would cut off funding. Mm-hmm. I would be out in the streets. I mean, they would destroy me, you know. And what are you going to do then? So to make yourself impenetrable first, to make your defense impenetrable. Mm-hmm. And that's what we all need. Like, listen, we all want to fight this new world order, this communist takeover. But you can't fight it from a position of weakness. And if you're just, you know, one guy at the kitchen table with your laptop, what can you do? You can't do anything. So that's one important reason why we need to build these communities so that they can't get to you. Okay, shut down my bank account. I've got 60 people that'll take care of me. And, okay, you know, turn off my ID chip so that I can't go to the grocery store. Well, you know, I've got 100 people that will feed me. So that way you make yourself impenetrable. And then what we need to do is build the communities, not only for our own personal lives, to make our personal lives better, but to be able to fight against these people. We can't fight against them if we don't stand together. And the first place to stand together is to get 10, 20, 30, 40, 100 people in your community, meet every week, talk about what we can do to push back against this madness. And so that's one other reason to form this community.
How many people altogether? It's over 100.
Yeah, it's over 100 in our community. Uh-huh. But we also have we also have sister communities. So there's another
community. You do. See, we haven't gotten into that part of it. That's good. Let's talk about that. These are like, okay. I hate to use the word militia in a malicious sense, but these are very good because they really are like militias in the sense that they cover a lot of territory, not just combat. They cover a lot
absolutely.
Of different areas.
It's
the ultimate army. It's an army of life, of wellness, of health, of preparation, and of defense. And your point about defense, Sun Tzu, was completely correct, of course. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we have the original founder of this community isn't in our community. He is a former police officer. And he started mutual aid community, but he actually runs our sister community. We are a branch of them, but not in the sense that we answer to them or anything like that. It's just that he had a good idea, and he ran his community in another location, Delhi. And people went to his community and said, "Oh, this is really good, but it's a little bit too far for us to travel. It's about an hour's drive from where I am, 45 minutes, hour drive. So it's a little bit too far to attend meetings for people on our side. You know, we're on the east side of the county." And so they started one here. There's another sister community a little bit further south to us, closer to the big city. And so there's actually like three other communities that are nearby that we know about. We share many activities together, like picnics. And when I was doing my first aid workshops, members from the Delhi community would come, and they would come to the workshops and our picnics and barbecues. So we know of each other, and we work together, and we would cooperate in a grid down scenario. They have a good communications team, and so they're part of the radio check. So this is the way we need to do it, Jeff. So we've got a good community here, approximately 100. And I think, I don't know how many there are in the Delhi. Not quite as many, probably about 60.
Okay.
And there's probably another 30, 40 in the other community.
Okay, question. There's no top end on this. Is there a bottom end where it becomes too small? And unless these people are like Renaissance people who can do many different things, you're going to lose valuable components to a complete or relatively complete group of communally oriented people who have the same goals, and that's to survive. What's too small? Is there a too small point? This is not an exact science, but just generally. No. How many do you really want?
No, there is no too small. Remember, okay. this is a survival situation. And what I've been saying is that, first of all, become personally prepared. Have your own food, your own first aid kit, your own radio.
Right.
But the more people you can get that would work with you, the better.
Uh-huh.
So even if you only have two other people that will work with you, that's fine. That's good.
So you can call Bob and Fred and an emergency, and they'll come right over armed and ready to help if necessary.
They'll come over with food and medicine.
Gotcha.
Right? Like it's the militia part of it is very small. Our activities as militia is very small. We have done no training in our community. The neighboring community does a little bit more training. You know, they go out with paintball guns and do some strategic, sure. Right? Which is fine, but we're not really that concerned about security. We have a false sense of confidence because we're out in the country. When the grid goes down, you know, everybody from the city is going to be coming up here looking for food. And in that case, well, you know, we're just going to have to get more serious about the militia. And it's only like a neighborhood watch type of organization. It's only to protect your community. Look what happened there in South Africa when the blacks started going crazy. When don't they go crazy?
They're still going, yeah.
Yeah. And they're rioting and looting and rioting and looting.
They're killing white people. You got to remember down there, just for the record, approximately 40 million blacks, approximately 3.5 million whites. 40 million to 3.5 million. The whites are really, they could be wiped out in a matter of days completely.
Absolutely.
If the other side went utterly insane. And that's always a possibility.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we have, in our community, we have four people that are originally from South Africa.
Oh.
And, Dutch descent. We got a lot of Dutch down here. And Danes, and Swedes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's part of that wave of immigrants from Europe.
Right. Pennsylvania Dutch.
Exactly. Yeah. And, of course, Amish and Mennonites.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened there, I watched the videos, I read the news stories, that they started going, you know, a big crowd, you know, 5,000 blacks are rioting and they're walking up the street and they're heading towards the white suburb, which they're going to be doing here one day anyways. And but the suburbanites, the white people there, they put together like an improvised militia. They sent out like 10 guys with guns and they took up positions on the highway and they shot over the heads of the people that were coming up. And that was enough. They turned around and said, no, we don't need this. And they stopped their advance. It didn't hurt anybody. But you put up.
That's a very good lesson. I don't remember if I've heard that before. Is there a video on that showing what they did?
I saw it. I saw the videos.
Oh. Yeah. I'd like to see that.
Going back maybe 2 years.
I understand.
But, well, this is another principle of strategy, another strategy of warfare. You see, most violence between species, intra-species violence, so wolf against wolf, lion against lion, most violence is resolved through what is called threat display behavior. So, you know, the chickens, they ruffle up their feathers to make themselves look bigger, and they pluck at the ground and they squawk, and whoever puts up the biggest show tends to be the winner until one of them backs down. Rarely do intraspecies violence end in actual bloodshed or death. Most of the time, it's just putting up a big show. They bark louder. Their hair rises up on their collar. They make themselves look bigger. And eventually, one of the partners, one of the parties, backs down. So if you're being faced with imminent.
It's called posturing, yes.
Yes, posturing, exactly. Sword rattling is another way of describing it. So if you've got people coming up, you know, up the farm road to raid your crops, and you've got six guys out there with shotguns, and they fire a couple of rounds over their head, nine times out of ten, they are going to back down. They don't want to deal with actual real violence. Come on. A gunfight is a terrifying thing. Most people will not willingly get into a gunfight. So they'll back down. But if there's nobody there with a gun, then you're done. Right? They'll come up to you and come up to your farm. They'll, you know, loot and rape and murder. Fine. You need some sort of threat display behavior. And that's why I tell people you need a gun. I mean, if they're banging down your front door, fire a couple of rounds.
No, hot. Time for talking is over.
Yeah. And you shoot a couple of rounds over their head. And most of the time, how many videos have we seen about these home invasion robberies where the defender pulled out a firearm and shot a couple of rounds through the door, and the invaders tripped over themselves to run away?
Yeah, usually that's the case. Not always, but yes, usually. They don't...
Yeah.
They're not... They're trying to break in and occupy your home. So they don't have standing in your home, and if they're not in there, it's too easy for them to think, let's go find another one. So that does work.
Yes, it does work. And again, for us, I mean, look, we're not training as a military unit. We've got a couple of guys that can stand on their own two feet. Let's still have a little bit of testosterone in their bodies. That know how to use a gun. That's all you need. You just need somebody to stand up there and be able to face them down and fire a couple of rounds in the air. I don't want to have to kill anybody, even in a grid down, you know, collapse scenario. I don't want to shoot people, and hopefully I will never have to do that. But once they step over the threshold into your house, yeah, I'm going to kill you now.
You have no choice. You have no choice. If someone invades your space like that, you've got to take them down. You have to. And my God, if you have children, the decision is already made for you.
Absolutely. And most of our members, we have a lot of young families here. I should tell you what happened this week. Last Saturday, we had our Christmas dinner. Again, one of the important parts of maintaining cohesiveness in the community is that you have social events. You know, you get together, not just for the meeting to discuss, you know, what crops to plant this year, what medicines we need to buy for our first aid kit. No, you need to get together and lighten up, too. Jeff, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm so tired of the fear porn. I'm so tired of the negativity and the black pills. I get that all the time. I get emails, comments on my video. I give up. Humanity's lost. Humanity is done. People are all a-holes. And, I'd like to offer an alternative to that viewpoint. Right. And the alternative is what we are doing with our community. So part of what we do is we have social events. So we had the Christmas dinner on Saturday night. Potluck, and we all went to the basement of one of the local churches in a small town, Tilsonburg, and we had about 60 people come to the dinner. That's a lot of people for a dinner.
That is.
Because we got a social team, and I've spoken before, we have different teams. We have, you know, garden team, security team, communications.
What you've done is it really is worthy of a very major documentary to show what people can do. And really, it's the only path that can be followed in these times. You've got to do what you have achieved. If you try and stand on your own, it becomes so much easier to have help. I can't even imagine it, not being directly in the position, but just trying to project. If I've got four or five neighbors I know will come over if I need them for whatever reason, that's going to give me a feeling that is unduplicatable. You can't do that on your own.
No, you can't. So, and then they arranged to have this lady come over, an older woman. Most of us are a little bit older. And she had taught everybody how to line dance. So we had the music, and we had Grandpa up line dancing with the grandkids.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, it was a great time had by all. And what Very I liked nice. About it is that I went out for a smoke during the middle of this. I was doing some videoing. I made a short videotape of the event so that everybody could have a nice memory of what we've done. And outside the church, I met a dozen homeless people. They were waiting to go in. Our dinner started around 5, and we finished at 8. But it turns out that the church opens its doors at 7 o'clock at night, and they have 12 bunk beds that they make available for homeless people. You know, Jeff, this is what we need to do. Like, I'm not a Christian, but I believe in churches helping the community. And there's not many that do. And this, I think this was a Methodist church. But I was so happy to hear, because it's a small town. It's unbelievable that there are 12 people in such a small town that are homeless. But the local church opens up the doors, and we'll continue when we get back.
Very good. This is inspiring. I hope you're all listening. And Stephan, you may be more of a quote Christian than you like to think, because you do practice the golden rule, and that's the way I approach it all. All right, hold on just a second, and we'll be right back with Stephan Verstappen in just a minute. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Stephan Verstappen. All right, Stephan, go ahead.
So, it was a wonderful Christmas party. I went out for a smoke, and I seen all these homeless people gathered out in front of the church.
Yeah.
So, I went over there and talked to them. And, you know, despite what you would imagine, maybe it's different here because it's a small town, but these people weren't on fentanyl. They're homeless because they lost their jobs, and they didn't have a support network. Remember, the government will not help you. Certainly not here. No. I mean, our government is.
No. Yeah.
You know, they're happy to send billions of dollars to that little chosen prime minister of Ukraine in order to finance the mass murder of their own citizens. They're perfectly happy to send billions of dollars to Israel to help them mass murder. Can I even say the word? No, I can't. But looking after their own people, forget about it. They don't care about people. And so the people, the homeless people that I spoke to, they're all Western European descendants, i.e. white. And they're not all on fentanyl. I'll be honest, there was one or two guys that looked like they had mental problems. That's, you know, that's part of the homeless demographic. Mind you, that's part of the demographic of the human population. And I spoke to them, and I said, you know, how did you become homeless? You know, I don't beat around the bush. Why the hell are you out here freezing your butt off waiting for the church to open? And it was because they were unemployed. They lost their job. They couldn't find another job. Despite all the government propaganda that says, oh, unemployment is the lowest. It's all piss off you.
Yeah, I know.
Lying son of a bitch. How can unemployment be the lowest ever after
government lies. All governments do is lie. All lies all the time.
Do.
That's what they do.
I know.
That's all they do.
But here's the takeaway.
These people, one quick thing. These people... When you talk to them and you learn of their circumstance, they were fine, they had a family, they had a home, they were able to make ends meet, They lost their job, and now they're homeless. It's that old expression, there, but for the grace of God, go I.
Absolutely. And that's not right. Only that, they were articulate. They were well-groomed.
Yeah.
You know, and my heart went out to these guys. You know, listen, Jeff, it can happen to any of us, okay? You suddenly get cut off. Like, you know, if the deep state comes after Jeff Rentz, closes down your bank account, raises your property taxes 10,000%, Jeff Rentz will be under the overpass with the rest of us. Nobody.
I'll be outside
right?
that church trying to get into a bunk bed.
And but I'll be honest with you, I was really proud of that church that they opened their goddamn doors and did something. You see, the solution for all these problems is not the government. It's we the people. We have to solve this problem. So kudos to the church.
Amen to that. I agree. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they only had room for 12 people. Well, good. Like, do something, people. We have to solve this problem. All the problems, we have to do it ourselves. Forget about government assistance. And then, so we had a really nice dinner. We had a lot of leftover food, I think I've talked to you about. You know, one of the ladies in our community owns a roadhouse restaurant, and she's a baker, and she makes these marvelous cakes, giant cakes. And so every potluck dinner, we're always guaranteed to have like three or four big cakes. And after we were done, all the leftover food went to the homeless people. And I went out there and I gave away all my cigarettes. Somebody said,
"Well,
can you give
spirit.
Me a cigarette? I can give you five cigarettes." So they all lined up and I gave them out. If I knew they were there, I would have brought a carton, handed everybody a carton. Whatever you can do. I know. Smoking is bad. Look, if you're homeless and you need a smoke, you know, good for you. Because I asked the guy, one of the guys, he's very articulate. I said, how come, you know, I said, I know a lot of people that are homeless were drug addicts. And you know what he told me? And it's something I've heard before. He said they became drug addicts after they became homeless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they had, what was there
despair.
Left in your life?
Despair,
and misery and depression, and you're abandoned by society, and you're told to go sleep in the park, and well, you know, if you get a shot of heroin, makes you feel better. I don't blame them, Jeff. I don't blame them.
I don't either. What I do blame is the simple fact that this communist regime that has overthrown what we used to call a representative executive branch in Washington has let in now over 10 million invaders from third world sewers. A lot of those countries in Central and South America are emptying their jails and sending these people up. All right? These people come here and they are given everything they could ever want. $2,200 a month for rent. Grocery vouchers, car, automobile, gasoline money, cell phone money, furniture money. They got it all. And American citizens who have fallen on hard times because of the very policies of this Bolshevik regime, they're just told, go to hell. You don't exist. Go away.
Yeah. So, anyways, I was very proud of our community. I mean... The kids had a good time. I got the video. It was hysterical. You know, the love you saw between parents and their children. You know, try finding that in California. You know, they were dancing and they were eating and everybody had a good time. And whatever we had, we shared with the homeless people. And, you know, this is the way we have to do it, Jeff. I know. Listen, I'm in danger of coming off as a Pollyanna. I know that. But, and by no means am I a Pollyanna. Remember, I joined my
Your achievements, take that label right off you if anyone dares even try to put it on you. No, you're no, nothing like a Pollyanna. You have achieved. You have manifested things along with all of your your members and your community and your friends, and you're all in it together, and you've done that. You've created something that is extraordinary, and it should be the template for Americans who wish to survive to go about setting that mechanism up, a survival mechanism.
Right. And that's why I'm always talking about this. I know, I'll be honest with you, Jeff, people like to hear, you know, the fear porn. It's more titillating, right? And yeah. They don't want to hear that they have to get off their own butts and work together with people they might not know and, you know, volunteer a couple of hours of their time. But this is what you have to do. I'm sorry. And if that's boring and you don't like it, good for you. What do I care? I'm a stoic. I don't care what you think anyways. But now we had a Christmas miracle, Jeff. I'm not kidding. For me, personally.
Hmm. Really?
So on Thursday, which was yesterday, we had our regular meeting. And this is the last meeting of the year. We're not going to get back together again until January next year because, you know, Christmas and the New Year's and people are busy. So we're postponing the next two meetings. And one of our members last week mentioned that she wanted to build some planters for her balcony so she could start growing food.
Right.
So we have what's called, we have another team. It's called the, I can't even remember, Jeff. It's the manufacturing team, I guess you could call it. Anyways, last night they came in, they brought in a miter saw and some lumber, and they built her two-by-four raised bed boxes.
Nice.
And this was an opportunity, because again, what we do in our meetings is we teach other members of the community. So, you know, the team leader said, who doesn't know how to use a miter saw? Come on outside, and we'll teach you how to use it. And coincidentally, last night, everybody got their canes. Now, you know, I was teaching a cane.
Yes. Very
cane
good.
So one of the members had sourced some canes. They said, look at these canes. And I looked at them. I said, these are beautiful canes. They said, should we buy them? I said, absolutely buy them, $20 a piece. They're $120 on Amazon.
They're $120 on each on Amazon, each?
Yeah.
Okay. And what are they made of?
They were made of maple.
All right.
Which is nice, solid.
Strong enough to whack somebody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So,
all right. Send me that link, will you?
Huh?
Send me that link.
Okay.
I'd like to look into that.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to something. So I noticed all these canes because I came in a little bit late. I always get a ride because I don't have an automobile, and it's about a half an hour away, the clubhouse, from where I live. So I always get a ride with, you know her, Dixie, and so we go together, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And but Dixie's always late. She's listening. She said, I'll be there at 5 o'clock. I know she's getting there at 5:30. But I love her nevertheless. I don't care. What do I care? So I got there a little bit late, and I noticed, oh, my God, everybody's got these brand-new canes. So they were doing the miter box, and they were making these raised bed planters, and I stood up in front of the community and I said, oh, by the way, I see everybody's got their cane. Now let's customize that cane and cut that 45-degree angle off of the back of the curve. And I customized my fighting canes a little bit by adding I cut a piece off to make it sharper and open up the gap between the curve and the main staff. Anyway, so everybody cut their canes. We had the miter saw right there. So everybody's ready to go. You know, I couldn't believe it. Here's 30 people, and they all got their canes after taking the...
Just a little quick cane footnote. When you have a cane like this, and we've spent time talking about it, Stefan's explained it in the past, you want to use it You want to carry it like you're using it, or you might use it. You want to just carry it around. How do you pack it?
Well, what I always do is I fake a limp. I keep it in my hand. I fake a slight limp if I'm walking, so I don't draw any suspicion. If you're walking down the street like you don't need a cane, and you're carrying
That's what I'm asking, right.
Yeah, well,
if you're in a crowd and you've got your defensive cane, you might want to adopt a small limp. All right, just a slight whatever. Sure.
Remember, you always want to get your enemy to underestimate you. Right?
Got it.
So it's not unusual for me personally. Now that I'm 67, I will feign dementia. I will feign fragility. Right? I'm too old to lift this up. It's the one advantage of getting old, Jeff, is that you can always say, oh, I'm so old. Can you carry this? And somebody will come around and carry it. Look, I'm perfectly fit. I don't need a cane. I don't need anybody to help me carry nothing. But you can always pretend, right?
Point well taken. I get it.
Well, listen, war by deception. You know what I'm talking about. They took that to heart, and we can use it too. So they all had their canes. I was so surprised. Everybody had their canes, and they were asking me questions. And so I showed them how to, you know, customize the cane. It's a different thing. I'll send you a link. But you cut off the piece at the end of the cane and just makes it a little bit more effective as a weapon.
Got it.
So, again, this is part of our security team. Listen, there are guys like me that we have our guns, okay? But not everybody has their guns. But at least they need to be able to know how to defend themselves. And the best weapon other than a gun, in my opinion, is a cane. So we did that, and they built the raised bed gardens. And okay, so Dixie and me were driving back, right? Like Dixie lives 5 minutes from where I live, right? Just two blocks down the street, so... That's why we always go together. So we're driving back, and she says to me, she says, oh, Sheila and me, we're coming over tonight. I said, what? No, I don't have people over at my house, Jeff. I'm a charming guy, and if I need to be, I can be outgoing. But to be honest with you and the listeners, I'm a very private person. I prefer to be by myself, right?
Sure.
And she says, well, Sheila and I coming over. I said, what do you mean you're coming over tonight? She says, yeah, tonight. I said, for what? She says, we're going to give you a care package. I said, I don't want no care package. I don't need no care package. You know, I'm a real warrior style, right? Like, I don't need nobody's help. I can do everything myself. Thank you, but save your time, save your money, save whatever. I'm good. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. But to be honest with you, Jeff, it's been a bad month. Ever since they shadow banned me last January, last Christmas, my income has dropped from like $2,500 a month, which, you know, wasn't like a luxurious income by any means. But it paid my rent, and I could buy cat food for the cats, and I'm fine. I don't need a lot, Jeff. I don't need a lot. You know, I live like a warrior. I eat very little, and I don't go anywhere. I don't go shopping. What do I need that crap for? But for the last 6 months, I've been really struggling. For the last 6 months, there hasn't been 1 month that I wasn't late with the rent, right? And then you get your eviction notice, right? And all you've got until the 20th to pay up, and I'm going, how the hell am I going to get, you know, another $500 by the 20th to pay the goddamn rent? And so, and I eat mostly. I go to the food bank. There's a food bank here in town, run by the Salvation Army, and the volunteer, the woman that runs it is a lovely woman, Kelly, and it turns out I knew her kids. Her kids volunteered because they're in high school, and if they volunteer to participate in community events, they get credit towards their high school diploma. and they volunteered at the wedding of Dixie, the wedding that I officiated at. And I remember them, and I met them, and, you know, I always take an interest in young people and try to encourage them. And the boy wanted to be a paramedic. And so we talked about, you know, me being a former instructor for St. John Ambulance. And so I told him what to expect if you're going to become a paramedic. And, you know, great kids, healthy, bright, willing to work hard for free. You know, how many young people do you see like that?
Not too many.
But anyways, that's Kelly at the Salvation Army. Wonderful woman. But, Jeff, do I tell anybody? I don't tell anybody. I never complain. I never ask for help. Because why would I complain, Jeff? Look at the world. Look at how people are really suffering. I would be embarrassed to say, life is tough for me. I can't pay my bills. I would be embarrassed. I would die of embarrassment to say something like that. So I keep my mouth shut. But Dixie's one of those women. You can't keep a secret from her.
What's the old line? Quickest three means of communication?
Right.
Telegraph, telephone, tell a woman.
Dixie's very empathetic, and she's very sensitive. And, you know, we'd be driving on the way over the last couple of months. We're in the van driving to the meeting, and she would go to me, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "What? Nothing wrong with me." No. There's something wrong with you. "What do you mean? There's not. Yeah, well, because, you know, the stress of not being able to pay your bills. Jeff, you and all your listeners knows what that feels like, right? But, you know, as a warrior, as a stoic, I'm not going to say, "Oh, I'm freaked out because I can't pay my bills." I'm just going to say, "Well, there's nothing wrong with me." But it does affect you, okay? It does. Subconsciously, you know, you worry about it. You can't help yourself but worry about, "Oh, my God, you know, are they going to evict me?" But I won't tell anybody, all right? I won't tell anybody, Jeff, because I would be embarrassed, because this world is full of suffering. People suffer way more than I do, and I'm going to start to bitch like a little baby. "I can't pay my bills. I don't know what to do." No, you keep your mouth shut, and it's the old Zen saying, chop wood, carry water. Just keep going, folks. Keep going. Do what you need to do. Keep going. Anyways, Dixie wasn't having it. She knew there was something wrong, but I never told her a word, Jeff. I swear to God, I never told her a word about it. Then, last night, we're driving back. She says, Sheila's the head of our medical team. What a beautiful woman. Four kids. They both have four kids. You know, these were the women that I grew up with when I was a kid. You know, nurturing, hardworking, down to earth. You know, not the blue-haired, nose-ringed freaks that we see nowadays.
Oh, man. Yeah.
She says, "Sheila and I are coming over tonight." I said, "Well, no." I always say no. She says, "No, we're coming over, and there's no arguing about. No, I don't want nothing. I don't need. No, we got a care package." Okay, so they came over last night after the meeting, and they hauled up the stairs to my apartment 20 bags of groceries.
Oh my.
I don't know where they got it from. They must have gone behind my back and talk to the rest of the community. It was probably Dixie, but Sheila too. She's a wonderful woman. And they must have told them, "Stefan is struggling. Let's put together a care package for them." And so everybody contributed to something. Jeff, 20 bags and boxes of grocery. I got a frozen turkey. I got three frozen chickens. I got sausages from the local farmer. I got ground beef. I got potatoes. I got preserves. I don't have to go grocery shopping for 3 months.
Oh, yeah. That's what a nice thing. Well, you've earned the respect of an awful lot of people out there. Also, a lot of people listening right now, not just in your group.
Where did this come from? Who did this? Sheila says, "The love fairies." I said, She says, Stefan, don't you know we all love you? And you know me, Jeff, I'm a little bit jaded. I said, love? You love me? I said, that's what they always say just before they stick the knife in your back.
But they what a nice story. I'm glad
what a nice gesture. This is what your community does for you folks. That's what they did for me. I never asked for it. I never complained that I couldn't feed myself or anything like that. I never mentioned a word of it. You know, I'm a warrior. I don't appear weak. They did it out of their own, out of the kindness of their own. And I guess the whole community chipped in. I mean, I still haven't put the food away. This was last night. It's, most of it's still sitting in the living room.
Well,
I don't even know where to put it all. But I don't have to go grocery shopping until April.
That's great. Well, that's a nice little Christmas story. Thank you, Stefan, for sharing that and for all you've done to inspire people out there. How do they get hold of your guide to do this?
Formingcommunities.com. And that's where you can get a hold of my my online course and writings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, that's formingcommunities.com. One word.
Very good. All right, my friend, you have a really nice, warm holiday. I know you will. And Merry Christmas.
This is and great. You too, Jeff. All the best to you.
Thanks. All righty. Good night. Stefan Verstappen. And have a great weekend. Back with you live Monday. In the meantime, you know where we'll be at the site, trying to keep you informed. And you can listen to the programs on the network anytime you'd like. Okay. Thanks for being here. Talk soon.